Hello, folks. This is Princess. You are listening to the Millennial Mustard Seed Podcast. Thanks for listening. Don't forget to share with your friends.
It's tough. We're in a very tough spot. I think that what we're doing right now is of great benefit and virtue because it's an end around between this whole corrupt informational system, media system.
We claim to believe in a God who spoke the universe into existence and literally raised himself from the dead. And yet we're not going to believe that anything else exists in the spirit realm, even though his word tells us that they do.
Their bodies weren't permitted to go to sleep like humans do, and they weren't permitted to go to heaven. So they wander the earth.
You know, I've seen the eyes turn black to unknown tongues being spoken.
These giants would live way up in the island. The young braves, the young men would hide up in the trees and wait for one of these 12-footers to come walking down the path, and they would jump on him and kill him, drag him back to the village, and the village would feast on the body.
Freedom!
Then people start to get weapons, they start to get armor, they start to build cities, they start to fortify their cities. Now, God looks down and there's violence everywhere.
The battle, this war that we are at, is not against each other. It's against these principalities and these rulers and these archons in the high places.
It's really worthwhile to read the Bible yourself.
Fear is one of the primary drivers of mind control because we have to take every thought captive and resist fear.
You're going to have a testimony that is a justice case against the kingdom of darkness.
Welcome back to the Millennial Mustard Seed. I am your host, Rod, and thank you for being here with me. I am joined by Laura Galier. She is the author of the Christie Award-winning novel series, The Delusion, which was released February 20th of this year. The Delusion series is being made into a feature film. It speaks to today's teenagers that face an emotional roller coaster of struggles and raw realities in the adolescence. More than 4 in 10 youth report that they feel persistently sad or hopeless, and 1 in 5 claim they have contemplated suicide. There's also the concern about American teenagers leaning away from religion in exponential numbers, and the rise of the interest of the occult and witchcraft. Well, let's just say, this is not good for our youth. In Laura's new book, she's weaving together the complexities of mental health amidst the supernatural backdrop that exposes deception with the light of truth, bringing hope and healing to a generation in need. The Christie Award-winning series follows fictional high school senior Owen Edmonds in the coming-age paranormal thriller as he gains a supernatural vision and discovers that his high school center is the epic of demonic warfare. The main character, Owen, has a near-death encounter that opens his eyes to the spirit world, and he does not have a Christian background, but he learns that there's good and evil, this demonic and angelic warfare taking place, and he has to take it among himself and develop the courage and learn who God is, and he learns the power of faith to literally change the atmosphere of the school. Fascinating book that's being produced into a feature film. Laura has her own interesting supernatural life that she shares when she came to Christ, the experience that happened where the enemy tried to stop that at a young age, and also a dream she had about chimeras and cryptids in the eighth grade, which the dream reflects the reality of where she's at today producing this movie. Laura is an advocate for children and keeping sexual purity and just building value back into society. A lot of her work is recognized in public schools all across the country with the I Am Worthy program. We get into so much more on this episode. It's really edifying. We go back and forth, sharpening each other, sharing ideas, and it was a fun conversation. Quick shout out to FLF, Floodlight Forever. I play one of his songs at the end of this episode, and it is fire. leave me a 5-star rating and review on your favorite podcast catcher. If you're on Apple, write me a written review. That helps the algorithms. That helps us find one more person just like me and you. And you guys can find the link in the details of the show notes to plant a seed to partner with us as we literally walk into our calling. I have some ground-shattering content yet to be released, so you guys make sure you stick around and share these episodes with your friends, family members, coworkers, with your doctor, and with your pastor. I think it's about time to jump into this episode. I'm ready. Are you guys ready?
Let's go!
I'm Laura Gallier, and welcome to the Millennial Mustard Seed Podcast.
Laura, it is an honor to be here with you. I am super excited about the book series that you did and everything about you right now. I'm kind of falling off of my chair as I was looking into your bio and just how God has been using you for such a time as the day that we live in. So thank you for being here with me.
Yeah, thank you for having me. And thanks for this awesome program and podcast.
So you released a series just recently. I believe it was on the 20th or 27th of February last month, 20th, The Delusion. That's really close to my heart. I haven't read it yet. I'm going to be honest with you, but just recapping and looking at some of the highlights and climactical points about what you're trying to inculcate into this younger generation and even the older generations to get us back to the reality of spiritual warfare and how the Bible is accurate, right? But before we get into all that, just give me some background. Tell us a little bit about how you became the Laura that you are today.
Yeah, well, again, thank you for having me. I grew up in a single parent home with my mom and experienced fatherlessness. And God in his goodness allowed my good friend's mom in like third or fourth grade in elementary school, her mom presented the gospel to me in a really simple way that as a child I could understand. And right there on her bedroom floor on the shaggy carpet, we grabbed hands and she went to lead me in prayer to receive Christ and the phone rang. And she picked it up and there was no one there and she hung up and she grabbed my hands and she started to pray and the phone rang a second time. She picked it up, no one was there. She hung it up and a third time the phone rang and she finally unplugged it from the wall. So back then, you know, we plugged into the wall with our phones. But I said all that to say that there's just been this paranormal element from the beginning. And it's not just me, it's all of us. There is this spiritual warfare aspect, but I knew nothing of that as a young girl and ended up, you know, the way I explain it is I genuinely had a heart for God, but I had a head full of the world. I took my cues from media, worldly friends. I was alone a lot because my mom, bless her heart, she was working hard to provide for my sister and me. And so again, long story short, I ended up by junior high just looking for love in all the wrong places. That fatherless wound was just really doing what it does. And that's how I handled it. So promiscuity entered my life in eighth grade. And I went down that path and just a lot of broken relationships, ended up with an unplanned pregnancy at 20 years old. Got married to try to fix the situation. That ended in a fairly quick divorce. So there I was in my early 20s, a single mom myself now, wondering how in the world did I get to this place? I never wanted this for my kids. I grew up with this. And that's when I came to understand in this really profound, unforgettable way that God's biblical commandments are for my protection, that he's not trying to test me. He's definitely not trying to ruin my fun. He literally is trying to give me a blessed and good and fruitful life. So from there, I wrote nonfiction and started equipping parents and teens about sexual integrity, biblical sexuality. I walked that out, met my husband. We put Christ first in the relationship. We've now been married 23 years. So I thought that's what I'd do for the rest of my life is talk about biblical sexuality. All that to say that some years ago, it became really apparent that we don't believe in a literal devil. We don't believe that there are demons that seek to steal, kill, and destroy. And so our morality is really just kind of about being a good person. You know, hey, this is the right thing to do. And we're not perceiving, no, we're in a war. And Satan attacks our areas of rebellion, disobedience, hurt, trauma, our lies that we believe. So that led to wanting to write a book about that. And I felt nudged to do fiction So that's where the delusion series comes into play.
That's kind of the premises of the show, Laura, is what you were just highlighting there, that like, we all have this testimony, we all have a story. And a lot of times we grow up and we're going, what happened? No actual direction, right? There's a lot of confusion, a lot of messages out there that are messing up God's flock. And we're getting roughshod ran on us right from the gate a lot of the times. So let's talk a little bit about the Delusion series. This is a 3-book series, is that correct?
It is. And to be clear, it just now was released on Amazon as a 3-book series that you can just order in one click. But originally, The Delusion came out through Tyndale in 2017. It was self-published before that. So it's been quite a journey. And then books 2 and 3 followed in the subsequent years, but they're just now all packaged together on Amazon.
Having the heart to help other people that are in this spiritual battle, but they don't know it. There's nothing on the news, or there's nothing that is in the cultural media systems that would ever lend to the credibility that you have value. You're wonderfully and fearfully created, and you're in a battlefield. There's literally a war taking place and a ruthless enemy that is trying to separate you from anointing, from calling, from forgiveness. And so that passion, that really came, I'm guessing, from your own experience. But let's talk about, you know, the book a little bit. How has it impacted readers, and where's your heart at with what God has led you to do at this part in time?
Sure. I think it'd be helpful just to give a little explanation of what the book is about in terms of the plot. There's a young man who is growing up fatherless. You could probably see where that theme came from in my own life. And his mother is an alcoholic, and he has a really hard life. So he's cynical, and he moves to a new high school that has the highest suicide rate in the country. He's a smart guy. He wants to be a doctor. He just wants to graduate and get out of there. But he has his own near-death experience and then begins to see these monsters. He has no biblical worldview. He doesn't believe in God. He doesn't have that biblical terminology. They're creepers, they end up calling him. I say they because he has this friend that goes through this journey with him, this young lady. But long story short, he becomes the one tasked with convincing his classmates that there really is something real here. And at the same time, he's battling with his own sanity, and he's asking really hard questions about God. Why, if there's these, he calls them watchmen, but these angels, why don't they show up more? Why does God allow bad things to happen? Why isn't God doing more? These real world questions that we get to walk out and journey in an authentic way with Owen. That's his name. Owen Edmonds is the main character. And so the whole intent was to ask the hard questions, not to be preaching at people, but to gently and lovingly make a case for the reality of God, for how personal he is. He's not caught up in the traditions and trappings of religion. He wants a meaningful relationship. But again, even just saying that can sound so preachy to certain listeners. So to go through Owen's journey across those 3 books, and I must say there's more to come in the series, books 4 and 5 for sure, to travel through that, it just invites us to consider the real world, first of all, that's unseen, and secondly, how all this plays out in our everyday lives in schools and young people and adults.
It really sounds like you're drawing from, you know, life experiences and incorporating that into the character to get the reader to fall in love with the character, right? Because you got to kind of have, you know, this realistic approach where they got to have some quirks and some strong points, and there has to be some adversaries that bring the best out of them, right? One of the things you have written here is, you know, teenagers are facing emotional roller coasters of the struggle of the rawness and reality of dealing with persistent sadness. Mm-hmm. Have you seen any turnaround with readers that have been encouraged or changed through what you're presenting?
Yes. Yes. I don't think I could have persevered in this journey without that. As a matter of fact, on my social media, and we'll go over that and how to spell my name, Laura Gallier, G-A-L-L-I-E-R. I'm on Instagram and TikTok and all those platforms. We are getting ready to release a video testimonial by a young man who is older now, but when he read the book in 7th grade, he was dealing with suicidal thoughts. But that perspective shift, that he was not only in a war, but that he's the prize, that he has so much worth and value, that there's a fight going on over him, it changed the trajectory of his life. And so that's just one example. I think it's also important to say that while I was working on these books And here I'm championing, you know, the idea that these suicidal thoughts are rooted in lies, ultimately from the evil one. I had an explosion of mental and emotional turmoil, just all this childhood suppressed trauma. It was on a specific day, April 8, 2019, came exploding onto my life. It was very physical and that my chemicals went crazy, which is what happens when those cortisol skyrocket and we're full of fear. I realized I had some very wrong beliefs. So that was a psychology piece. And then on top of it, it was very demonically charged. I could feel this evil and being tempted myself. Here I am writing about this, being tempted myself to take my life. So I said that to say that this is not just theological or clinical for me. I walked through that. It was not quick. It took about 4 years before I even felt comfortable and normal. I learned that as Christians, we can be really trite with people, however well-meaning, and say things like, oh, just choose joy. Or, you know, if you had faith, you know, faith will get you through this. And certainly, you know, choosing joy and faith are a part of the equation, but it really is this nurturing process from God. I can get into all of that if we want to, but suffice that to say, it's the fruit of my own life and getting victory in these areas. And then yes, the testimonies continue to come in, everything from healing marriages to young people saying, hey, every time I start to feel depressed, I grab this novel because I need that perspective. It's meant to point people to the Word. So, you know, toward the Bible, what we mean when we say Word, it's meant for that. But it's just a great tool that can help remind us of what's really going on, that Ephesians 6 message that we're not wrestling against flesh and blood, but these forces of wickedness in unseen high places.
Yeah, I can relate so much to that. I mean, I'm just jumping out of the seams over here as I'm listening to you speak, because I had a near-death encounter. I didn't have a biblical or church upbringing, you know, and I have dealt with suicidal ideations, but it's real, right? And we have this entertainment culture that they do not want to talk about these topics, and the numbers grow, and we just see the decay of this younger generation. And I really feel your heart just and the way you're presenting it, you know, because not everybody wants to be smacked with a Bible. A lot of the times people are culture shocked. It's like coming out of a dark room and the light's on and you're like, ah, turn that light down, it's so bright. But everybody who's in that room where the light's already on, it doesn't seem that drastically bright to them. So there has to be some transition. And I think it's genius to write, you know, these stories that are rooted in faith and overcoming these challenges, and the way that you laid out the main character, challenged with bringing the reality of this demonic and spirit world that's real, you know, and he's wrestling with his own big questions. It hits so close to home for me. More of those stories need to be talked about and heard today, especially through writings, through movies, and through podcasting. You went through all of this yourself. You know, you dealt with some suicide ideation, so you're an experiencer, right? You have this passion where you understand, hey, this is the cost, right? God is going to use me to reach people. I have experienced it now myself. Where do you find yourself sitting today, knowing what you know now, and how do you get that point across to people that may be on the teeter-totter of, is any of this true?
Believe it or not, it starts back in the eighth grade. If I can tell you just a quick story, there I was, again, just heart for God, but not living it out, head full of the world, doing all kinds of deviant, honestly, very deviant things. And I have this dream. And in this dream, there are these half human, half like horse-like, dog-like creatures, and they're dressed in bow ties and they look cute. And it's a movie set. And there's parents letting their kids pet these creatures. And in the dream, I know these are demons. And I feel so compelled to warn parents and children and students that you think they're safe, but you're not. Well, sure enough, right then the director comes charging at me in this dream. And I know in the dream that is Satan, not just a demon. Like that is the one who fell. That is Satan himself. And he is chasing after me. And I know he wants to kill me. I run from him. I end up in a trailer like you see on set. Keep in mind, I'd never been on a movie set in my life. He's closing in. Finally, he corners me. And in the dream, I'm like, this is it. I'm going to be brutally murdered. I can feel how much he hates me. And all of a sudden, it's not that I made a decision. It's almost like I'm watching myself turn around and I'm holding in the air what I described as an eighth grader as a sword with a line down the middle, which is a double-edged sword. I was so clueless. I didn't even know that was a type of the word of God. But now that director who'd been, you know, blonde hair and handsome, he's this old man shrouded in black. And when he sees the sword, not me, the sword, he looks up and gasps and cries real tears. And in the dream, I'm like, oh my gosh, he's so fragile. He comes across so intimidating. He's so fragile. And I lowered the sword and he shrank and disappeared at my feet. Why did I tell you that story where my worst nightmare became Satan's worst nightmare? Because we had been working for years on the feature film of The Delusion. That became my life calling. We could have made the movie by now if we wanted to do low budget or small scale, but the vision God has put in our hearts is you only get one chance. We're going to do this right. So where I found myself sitting right now is working to produce a series of movies, starting with The Delusion. So that's huge. That's been amazing and exciting and up and down, and learned a lot of the lessons the hard way of the movie industry. I also want to mention that out of this whole journey came a program called I Am Worthy. It's a mental, emotional wellness and character building for students. It's intended to public school. It's based on 21 affirmations of worth that, quite frankly, I needed to know. It was part of my healing. I worked with doctors, counselors, people that are way smarter than me. And we came up with these list of 21 affirmations that if we believe these things about ourselves, we tend to be mentally and emotionally resilient. If we don't believe, or some of them we don't, we tend to be struggling mentally and emotionally. All that information is at worthyprogram.com. But I said that to say I am working on getting that in schools. And that is what you could call really that nonfiction side to this message. And whether we've come to know Christ or not, it doesn't change the fact that we have priceless intrinsic worth. And when we don't believe that, that's where Satan attacks. And you can imagine if you don't have a father or your parents have let you down, you've been wounded, we tend to project that on God. Someone says Heavenly Father, and we're picturing the man who cheated and walked out or whatever bad thing happened, the man who hit me or the man who ignored me, whatever that is. And so my heart is that this generation would know the truth about the nature of God. The Bible says in him is light and no darkness at all. We can't even fathom that there's a being that has not one selfish or ulterior motive ever. I mean, we don't know anyone like that. And yet exactly. He is that good. And he's wanting to reveal himself as a loving, protective, caring, safe father who places immense, priceless value on each one of us.
Let's talk a little bit more about this emotional wellness and character building program that you have for students. You're working to get this in public schools. Is that the idea?
It is. And there's also, it can be done in the home. So there, yes. you can buy it and watch it yourself. It's video based.
When we are being raised right, like the Bible says, raise a child in the way that they should go. And when they grow old, they won't depart from it. But we do have a society that has no comprehension of the word of God, or I think it's beyond rejecting it. A lot of the times I see a preparation in the culture's heart that they actually have the audacity to go to war with God. I think that's on the horizon. That's the depth of the darkness that we are up against. But like you said, the light, right? And this is what's profound about what you're doing and what I'm doing and many other people in these areas is that as experiencers, you know, when you come across somebody who's experienced, you know, whether it's demonic attacks, sleep paralysis, just the mental fatigue of just all of this crazy, chaotic things that are going on in this world, when you shine some light into them by slowing down and actually spending time with people, meeting the need, that's when it becomes genuine. You know, I actually wrote one of these little quotes in the book I released just recently, and it's, when you're in danger and I get closer to you rather than run away, that's when trust is formed, right?
I love that.
And it's like, we need more of those voices. We need more people that are willing to go into these places where it's kind of like the trenches, it's the gutter. But this is the heart of Yeshua. This is the heart of Jesus, right? Leaving the 99 to find the lost one. Well, we find ourselves in a country where it feels like 99 are lost, you know what right. I mean? So we need a lot of workmen out there in the field. So I just can't express how moved I am by hearing what you're doing, where your heart's at, and you're attacking from so many levels for the kingdom of light to be able to pierce into the public schools, you know, saying it needs to be present in the home, bringing this format of writing to challenge the fear-mongering narrative, to show in the midst of these trials and fears that faith and hope can be birthed out of that. And I think that's just phenomenal.
Well, thank you. And, you know, that voice of religion that is alive and well on the earth, it just drives home our shame all the more. It tells us to clean up and look the part. It's that fake it till you make it mentality. But God the Father is saying, come to me as you are. And we think, well, this is just too dirty. That's been the blessing of talking about sexual integrity. We call it biblical sexuality, is letting people know, because sometimes our biggest shame is tied to the area of things that have happened to us or things we've done in sexuality, and getting the chance to tell people that God is, not only is he approachable, his arms are wide open and he is calling you to him. At the same time, the word occult means secret or hidden, and it is not. We know that witchcraft has become trendy. You can imagine if you're in junior high and you're feeling left out, which so many of us do in junior high, and I'm told that you can cast this spell or you can wear this crystal, it's going to make people like you. That seems like a form of empowerment, but it's a demonic bait and switch. So there really is a need, a desperate need, especially when it comes to the supernatural, the paranormal, to help young people and adults. It's a lot of adults that are into the witchcraft right now, to recognize the difference between the angel of light and the real light. And one of them is performance-based and bait and switch, promises one thing, gives us another. And whereas God, his kingdom is all about authenticity and genuineness and honesty. And in my lowest valley, I remember the Lord saying to me, my only part, because I was so weak. I mean, I could hardly even pray and have faith. I was just so beat down mentally and emotionally and attacked. And he told me my job was to be authentic. Just be authentic. Just what you're feeling, what you're going through, what you're doubting, what you're questioning, just tell me. That is so opposite of religion. And so that's what young people need to know. That's what we all need to know. Humanity needs to know the difference between religion and that real relationship God's after.
Yeah, very well said. And it's like this false reality overlay, right, Laura, where there's a million messages and signals, but when we look at the frequencies that are out there, we start to look at the poisonings in the food and in the air and in the culture and in the language. It's no surprise that the enemy is exactly who the Bible says he is. He came to lie, to kill, and destroy. And unfortunately, a lot of the times people don't want to wake up to that reality until it knocks on their door. But we have this opportunity to be the hands and the feet. And, you know, you mentioned in your lowest valley, we've gotten feedback over the years where people have reached out and said, you know, I heard this episode at the right place at the right time, where, you know, you can hear something 100 times, but sometimes the anointing on one person saying what someone else may have heard 100 times, it clicks and makes sense for them. That's why I believe every single broadcast that we do here is edifying, eye-opening, encouraging, and just shedding the light in these dark days that we live in. So let's talk a little bit more about, I'm still kind of dwelling on this dream that you had in eighth grade. Wow. You know, you talked about like these creatures, right? And, you know, kids can't see it. There's no spiritual discernment. They're looking from the physical realm only, but God was giving you this discerning spirit and showing you in a dream the reality of the multi-layered functions of truth that were taking place in the spirit realm. I just want to dive back into that.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. I mean, again, sometimes we think of God as not being emotional, but he relates to emotion. He gave us emotions. Our emotions are meant to bear witness with the truth and recoil from the lie. And the nature of deception, whether it's the way we feel about ourselves or the way we are perceiving a situation, is for our emotions to think something's true. You know, there's a way that seems right, but it leads to destruction. And so, the dream, there was such a compassion. It wasn't my compassion. It's not like I'm some good person. It was the compassion of God for the lost and for those who are deceived and are befriending evil. And we can befriend evil literally through demonic, you know, occultic rituals, or it can be that addiction. It can be that pornography, that drug, that friend, literal friend, that you know is not going the direction you're supposed to go. And God comes to us. He doesn't just sit around, you know, floating in outer space. That's how I used to picture him. He comes to us. And that's what that dream was. It was, It was him stepping onto that entertainment platform where the devil has had such rule and reign and saying, I'm taking over. I'm, you know, your jurisdiction's up here. My children are stepping into this space. And it's so we can be a voice of truth and hope, a safe and secure voice, which is God's voice.
And it just makes me think of Colossians 2. You know, it talks about Jesus disarming the rulers and authorities and putting them to an open shame.
That's right.
And we're fighting from a place of victory.
That's right.
I just love that reminder that God is working in and through us to cause his will to come about. He's the author and the finisher of our faith. So it really does take us off this high horse. It allows for the pride to fold and fall low so that we can go low and remain in humility where God now can. What does the scripture say, Laura? In our weakness, his power is made best known. And I really do feel like that's why we go through the trials and all of these dark events, and God has never left us. He has never forsaken us, but it also, there's this process of refining, and it's just fascinating to hear what God has you doing today and what you've been through. I think stirring up the testimonies is so important. So let me ask you, what is your perspective on the Nephilim, for example? Chimeras, you know, the mixturing of animals and humans. We even see this stuff happening today in the scientific realm where they're, oh, we mixed a pig with this, or we're growing organs inside of a pig. I just have to ask, what are your thoughts on all that?
Yeah, you know, we're made in God's image and likeness, so it would be just like the enemy to try to destroy that, you know, one way or another. As far as the actual Nephis, I don't know. I've studied it. I've looked at it from every angle. I like to know. I'm one of those people. I'm a critical thinker. I like to ask why. God's not afraid of our whys, but I go back and forth on exactly what the implications are. But at the end of the day, we know that we are not meant to be altered genetically. And we are fearfully and wonderfully made. And when man plays God, bad things ultimately happen. And I'm not the authority on where that line is with these, you know, different in vitro, you know, there's fertilization techniques and things. And I wouldn't even be prepared to speak on that. But I can just say that when we're altering human DNA, that is playing God and it is not of God. And so we definitely want to watch for those things and recognize them as a distortion of what God already made.
So you talk about teens facing this, the real battle being the suicide, right? From like ages, I think it was like 14 to like 24. You know, we have this percentage of teens taking their own life. This is the second leading cause of death for young adults. Mm-hmm. How did we get here, right? And, you know, bringing the gospel, are you seeing a change or a difference with this, knowing that you wrestled with it, went through it yourself, through the power of prayer and shining the light, exposing the darkness, compartmentalizing that darkness, labeling it, knowing what it is, not participating with it? Do you think that these numbers can turn around?
To answer your question, how did we get here? There's more than one way. There was multiple things happening at once. For starters, we've learned for decades now in science class that it's unintellectual to believe that there's a creator. And so that makes me a cosmic coincidence. And then you have political agendas that say a life is a life in the womb if the mother wants it. If the mother doesn't want it, it's not a life. It's an inconvenience and it belongs in the trash. And I'm not trying to say that insensitive. That can be just such a sensitive issue for those who have walked that path. I'm just saying the mixed signal that we don't have significance, that we are cosmic coincidence. Then you add to that the breakdown of the family. God meant for a mom and a dad to love him, love each other, and love their children. And it creates this security, and it just transcends words. When we are shown that kind of love and security, and as someone who, you know, had divorced parents, and again, I've walked through a divorce, it is very damaging on the soul. So you add that to it, then you've got voices, you know, these influencers online that are touting priorities that are supposed to make us happy, that do anything but, overemphasis on appearances, social media likes, puts the right number to our popularity when we're young. And when, you know, we really are wired for community, and I always say it's not bad that we want to fit in. It's from God. We were made to be tribes and nations. It's just, it becomes so toxic when we're not accepted, when we're not shown approval, and we're not included. So when you put all that together, you can see how a young person today feels lost according to their identity, their very purpose for life. And I like to say this not to be trite, but in all of my pondering over this and my almost 5 decades, right, that I have been on this earth, I have decided that our number one purpose in life is to love God back. I mean, literally to love God back. And when we know him and love him, we naturally make his love known. And he can know us. We know this. We can know facts, right? I mean, God knows how many hairs we have on our head. We know certain celebrity names. We know who they are, but we don't know them experientially. God wants us to know him relationally, experientially. And some of us hear that. It's like this wall goes up, like, yeah, other people or the world, but not me. God can't possibly want to know me. And he is saying, yes, I absolutely do. And if you haven't been shown that from parents or caregivers, or if life has tried to paint a different picture of your worth, it's a lie. It's a lie. And I do believe that God is working among young people and setting the record straight. I do believe that in this hour.
I agree with you. And you have a quote here: young people need a holistic spirit, soul, and body approach to mental, emotional health that's honest about the reality of evil. I couldn't agree more. You know, I really just think that holistic approach is really underlooked. And, you know, highlighting that, there's natural foods that can be our medicine. Now, I'm not insinuating that a medical doctor is wrong every time, but I think that we're too persuaded to just have a quick fix for the side effects of whatever we're going through and not getting to the root of it. And what you're doing is multi-layered in the sense where, you know what, let's get to the root of it, because it all starts with one of the key things you said a minute ago. God is truth. And if we believe in his truth and we don't reject him from the gate, it's much easier for us to understand who we are, get comforted by his truth, and find our place.
Exactly. Exactly. And if you consider and study, I do have my degree in psychology. I've always just been interested naturally in psychology. Something that is not talked about very much is there really is this key culprit in nearly all mental and emotional turmoil, whatever the diagnosis, OCD or panic attacks, whatever it is, and it's fear. It's fear. Now, sometimes we can find, wow, you have a vitamin D deficiency, for example, and it's causing your chemicals to be off. We can start there for sure. But a lot of these fears are tied to lies that we believe. Like, I am afraid that I am not worthy of love. That is a fear. I'm afraid that I'm going to be abandoned. I'm afraid that I'm going to be exposed as not good enough. These are a lot of times subconscious. And we haven't even, you know, recognized that that's a fear we're operating out of. And so if all we do is turn around and prescribe meds, it is going to adjust those chemicals. Sometimes it works. Sometimes it makes things worse. But it's not going to address the fear. And fear is deeply spiritual. If you think about how blood entices sharks, fear draws the enemy to us. It is the atmosphere of hell, is fear. That is Satan's currency. And so God, believe it or not, sometimes we think it's faith that drives out fear. Certainly faith is part of the formula, but scripture says it's love. It's his love that drives out fear. So for every fear we have, God has an assurance. That's what we need, not empty promises. We need an assurance that his love is going to offset that fear. For example, if I have a deep fear, like I did, of being abandoned, God's never going to ban me. Even if everybody else, if my mother and father forsake me, the scriptures say, the Lord will hold me close. So he wants to remedy fear. And that's where healing happens mentally and emotionally. That's where we go, you know what? I may have been diagnosed as borderline personality disorder, but as I've overcome fear, which is a process, I am no longer, you know, I no longer have OCD. And the world will say you can't get healed of some of these, but that's because the world doesn't understand the spiritual realm and they're just not even open to God. I'm talking about just mainstream as a whole. And so, man, it's life-changing when we realize and start to address and tackle the fear in our lives.
Absolutely. I couldn't agree more. A really good friend of the show, Dr. Laura Sanger, she also has a degree in psychology. And we've talked about fear and, you know, how that can lower the immune system. And if we just think at the basic level, if we're fearful, we're subjected to all types of low frequency. Like the Bible says, do not fear, do not be afraid. Look at the placebo effect in medical study, right? You could get a sugar pill, but because you believe the doctor's giving it to you and it's for arthritis, it's going to bring down the swelling and inflammation in the joints, your placebo effect can trick you into healing your body yourself. So if we're surrounded by fear, of course, yeah, it's a decay. Man, and you said it, perfect love casteth out fear. Well, what is that perfect love? That's in Jesus, you guys. We know who the perfect love is. We know that we're given access to armor. As Ephesians talks about, we have this armor that we can put on. You know, the enemy recycles, Laura, these messages out there in the world over and over again, fear mongering. Well, we're going to recycle the truth and the word over and over again, reminding people not to be fearful, not to be afraid. I'm going to comment just on that naturopathic approach where not everything is a sickness that can't be defeated, because he who's spiritual, we can discern all things spiritual, right? So a lot of this stuff, I agree with you. There's a spiritual root cause of fear and rejection.
Yes. And there's over 360 verses in the Bible that tell us not to fear, but they also tell us why. Most of the time, the commandment not to fear is coupled with, for I am with you. That's the game changer. You could even say it like this. If God wasn't with us, yeah, be afraid, right? I mean, there's a lot to fear. But because he is with us. And again, some of us, We're trying to grasp it. We have head knowledge. Maybe we even have doctrinal knowledge, but life experiences and lack of faith and you name it, we're just having a hard time internalizing that or even feeling worthy of that, which of course, biblically speaking, we're not worthy, but that's what Jesus does, right? He makes us worthy. He's the one who died for our sins and makes us worthy, allows us to stand pure before God. And so if your listeners are hearing anything, let them hear me say that God wants to be close to you. He is not repulsed by any of us. We've never done anything that has caused him to love us less or disqualify us from receiving his son. And we can never be good enough. That is so intuitive to say, I know what I'll do. I'll go out and serve in the church or give to charity. I'm going to be a good person. Yeah, you try. It's not going to be long before those selfish motives that are part of that sin nature come up. It's not about behaving better. It really is about a relationship. And it's amazing how through that love relationship, we like look up one day and go, you know what? I haven't had the same sinful urges I used to wrestle with. It's amazing how God's love can heal us in ways that we're not even reaching for those old counterfeits. That's what sin is. It's a counterfeit. It's meeting some kind of need, or we wouldn't be doing it, but it's meeting a legitimate need in an illegitimate, consequential way.
That's really what the devil does. The devil's not a creator, in my opinion. He parallels what God does. He likes to come in, distort, corrupt, flip things around, and mimic what God does. You know, sin is fun for a short season, but it's a short season. So let me ask you, the power of prayer, just even in like your own life, and having this relationship with the Lord, it's so much more than just, oh, show up at church, clock in, get your little sticker for showing up on Wednesday or Sunday. I mean, this is a lifestyle, right? We're living in a battle. We know that the word is truth and the power of prayer. I just want you to share a story or just comment on the power of prayer in your own life.
Sure. Well, as a child, remember, I had received Christ. I had the Holy Spirit. My soul was a mess and needed mind renewal, but I would feel drawn as a child to go out into my backyard, and that's where I would talk to God. I didn't grow up in church, and I have, you know, really positive things to say about church. We need a faith community that's healthy and good for us, but at the same time, what I didn't have was all this tradition put on me, and so I learned to hear from God, and that's what I want to say about prayer. Prayer is two-way communication. We go to him. We can be just as authentic. We can let him know, I'm frustrated. I don't understand this God. We can ask him questions. But then there's something to be said for taking a pen and paper. It usually helps. Sit there with whatever spiral piece of paper and listen and learn to hear his voice. Everything he tells us is going to line up with his word. It can be hard at first. We're like, was that my voice or his voice? It does take continual practice and then looking at what we're hearing. Is it line up with the word? If we have other godly people who know the word, they can help guide us. And certainly there are resources out there about hearing from God. But we live in such a noisy culture with all of our music and TV and screens. And so a lot of times, right when we go to pray, man, our whole body, talk about that spirit, soul, body, our body will start jonesing for noise. We're not trained in being quiet and being calm. And God has this very calm, I'm going to use the word energy about him. He does, you know, have a personality and he's very calming. He's full of peace. And when we're used to being hectic and frantic and stressed, it can be this new thing to learn to come into his rhythm. But talking to God, you know, about anything, all things on the go, absolutely. But I would just, big piece of advice would be to set aside time. My phone is away from me. Media is off. I'm alone. I don't feel like someone's listening to me, you know, which would make me self-conscious. I can be completely authentic with God. And then after you pour your guts out to him and tell him everything and ask him for his help and everything you need, listen, listen and see if you won't get even a mental picture or one word.
Yeah, it's so powerful. It just makes me think, you know, I was listening to an audio journal from Dr. Chuck Missler recently, and he says, if you've ever questioned anything going on, you have a prayer life to keep a secret journal that you never show to anybody else so you can be as authentic as you possibly can be, knowing, hopefully, there's never a reader. And he talked about writing in that and then waiting in that quiet place for God's response. And that needs to be promoted. We need a billboard that literally says that. You know, turn off your cell phone, get back into prayer, get into that quiet place. Because I know a lot of the times the spirit will move through that still small voice with me. And then there's other times where I get a tugging. It's like a fire dwelling up inside of me and things will just come out of my mouth sometimes. And I'm like, well, God, you wanted me to say that. Not all the time. A lot of the times it's, you know, me thinking out loud, but God does move in these ways, but it comes with that relationship. So I love the way that you depicted that. And, yeah. And even as a young child, like your first experience with prayer is going out into the authentic creation. We spend so much time in fake light and fake right. environments. Mm-hmm. Grounding is back on the horizon. You know, Dr. Monzo has been on for a 3-part series thus far. You know, we've been talking about some of the more fringe things. You know, Dr. Robert Rodich has been on. We've talked about, you know, energy and healing frequencies. And a lot of times people are like, oh, that's new age. What are you talking about? And it's like, I think there's a religious spirit that's boxing people in because it's the glory of God to conceal a matter, but it's the duty of these princes and kings to seek this stuff out. And I really do think that we're on this cusp, Laura, where we're going to start to see a generation of people understand, you know what? God, I'm going to seek him for myself in spirit and in truth. I'm going to allow people to speak, right? Like pastors still have a role. We're not saying disown the church. We are the church. We're the body. It's not a building. It's the body. But people are going to actually start to seek on a level where it is so genuine and authentic that we're going to have a generation of Joshua and Calebs. That's my opinion. Not everybody right. agrees with me on that. But I do believe that being led by the Spirit is building these fundamental blocks where, you know, we're loving our neighbor, we're loving our brothers by actually inculcating the society around us, not by force. But the Bible says, Laura, be as wise as a serpent and as harmless as a dove. Well, the serpent, the Nakash, was the wisest of all the animals in the field. So to be writing books that captivate people's minds and to recycle good thought processes back into the youth and into the elder generation and speaking these words of life, attacking things from all these different angles is imperative in my opinion. And you're doing just that.
Well, thank you. And I love how you said that. And it is a lot of times just going back to the basics of getting outside, fresh air. I'm a huge proponent of eye contact. It's amazing how infrequently we look people in the face and we've gotten used to talking to people as they stare at their screen or they're talking to us. We're looking at our screen and that's rude. That's inconsiderate. And so yeah, getting back absolutely. To some of the basics of relationship, of prioritizing real face-to-face communication, these are, you know, not hugely profound and yet can be life-changing. I guarantee there's listeners right now that don't realize how much they're hurting just for lack of some hugs and eye contact. It goes such a long way. And parents today can be so busy and they mean well. They're so busy providing and keeping up with the demands of their own life, which is understandable, but that we're not providing our kids that, or our family, or our closest friends. And we really need to get back to that.
So I want to ask you, what is your favorite Bible story at this point in time? Is there one that sticks out? Like, it's just the heartthrob, something that has inspired you even in your personal life and in your writings?
Yes, I love the Genesis account from the beginning through the fall. I mean, there is so much there. So, you know, for example, on the day that God made the sky and separated the earth from the heavens, it doesn't say he saw that it was good. I mean, that seems like the littlest thing, but you're like, why? Every day you say it was good. And I ask the Lord again, I encourage us to do this. Lord, what? Why didn't you say it was good? Now, this can only be proven out in heaven someday. I can't prove this, but what I felt he said is because I understood the eventual separation from heaven and earth. And it's not that it was bad. He didn't say this, the sky was bad. It's just interesting that he didn't say it was good. And I'm just giving that as one example, but I've been able to extrapolate so many practical things about the nature of God, the nature of man, the tactics the enemy used at the fall, and how they're still so relevant. He's still using them today. And so it's one of my favorite things when I get to talk to students to teach on is right there out of the first few chapters of Genesis. And then I go on my rant of how, you know, the science class would try to tell us that it's unintellectual to believe that. And I, if you allow me to be so bold, I feel that the concept of evolution is unintelligent. And I could expound on that if I needed to. That's not to put anybody down or call anyone dumb or anything like that. I'm just very passionate about the fact that we have a creator and that creation testifies to a creator in some unmistakable ways.
Yeah, you're speaking to the right audience here. I mean, we've had like Dan Duvall on from Discovering Truth. You know, we're like the heavens, Shamayim in the Hebrew. And you're alluding to this thing that God didn't say it was good in Genesis. And that's profound because there's elemental, that's a region, you know, the prince of the power of the air is the devil. So fascinating how you just drop that little gem just looking at Genesis, and it already fits into these other big climactical points of just connecting puzzle pieces together throughout the rest of these past episodes. So I'm really enjoying this conversation with you. The production of your book, it's going to be made into a featured film. It is being made into a feature film. Let's recap on that real quick.
Yes, thanks for asking. We are in what's called the development phase. So we're taking the script to a whole new level. I'm partnering with a guy. I did my very best over the years, but partnering with a guy who's just an amazing script writer. And we've raised some funds and making the right connections in the industry, and just really been praying, like, who are these people that are going to be this team? And so the hope is that by next year we're in production. God alone knows his perfect timing, but we're certainly closer today than we ever have been. And special effects have come so far. It's just going to be incredible to bring the epic battle between demons and angels to that cinematic experience. And you think it would have been done by now, because it's kind of like this quintessential expression of good and evil, right? Demons and angels. But I feel like God has reserved that space. He's held it so that it didn't get told wrong. I'm not saying there's never been any movies, but I haven't seen any blockbuster movies with demons and angels. It feels like he's holding that space and that he's going to present that in a biblical way. That's the other thing. We could partner with various production companies, but then they're going to want to take the story in a direction we don't want to go. So I appreciate your prayers. I mean, you heard that dream I had in the eighth grade. This is not a light thing to walk into this territory and, you know, set up shop, so to speak. But we know that it's not by power or might, but by the Spirit of God. But if the Lord puts it on your heart, please do pray about that. And then certainly on my website, lauragallier.com, GALLIER.com, you can sign up for my e-newsletter and stay posted on the journey. And also you could just sign up to download the first chapter of The Delusion for free, and we'll keep you posted on the movie making journey if you do that.
And I highly recommend that you guys go to Laura's website. You can also find details in the show notes on that. Support what's going on here, because this is bigger than just it's not one person leading this thing. I literally see behind the scenes. I've talked with Hollywood producers all the way to the guy next door and everybody in between. And literally I have been seeing this kind of like movement where it's starting to form these connections that are going to honor God. It's like God is reserving, like you said it, Laura, for such a time as this. We haven't actually seen great movies be done through the big production companies that are biblically accurate, right? Mm-hmm. But now we're kind of boiling up to this point where people really want to know, what's my purpose? Why am I here? What's really going on? Is God real? And entertainment, you got to think about how heavy the entertainment is today. Kids walking around looking at their cell phones, even when they're on vacation with a beautiful view that's natural in the background. Mm-hmm. That's where we're at. So if we have to use these tools to be able to reach people, I think that God is also going to honor that and allow us to do so. Because, technology, it's just the time that we're living in. It's never really been like this before, where we have supercomputers in our pockets. So to have movies, to have podcasts, to have these messages going out and infiltrating the airways and saying, you know what, we're going to bring you guys good entertainment driven by the gospel, by the word. And I love what you said a minute ago, Laura, about, you know, we don't just want anybody picking up and working with us because they want to morph things and change things. The enemy wants to change things out of resonating with a deep biblical eternal truth. So I believe it's all going to come together and it's all going to work together. And I think you'll be pleasantly surprised to find a lot of agreement with the audience here on the Mustard Seed.
Yeah, I so appreciate that. And I love what you said. It's not just one person. It was just me in the dream because it's a personal journey, but it's a whole army of us. And there's a place for creatives. Unfortunately, in church, a lot of times there's not a lot of room for creative people to express their giftings, but the Lord gives us those creative talents, whether we write or sing or do art or build. I mean, there's no end, right, to the talents we can have. And just know if you'll commit that to the Lord and determine to serve him one way or another with it, he will honor that. He's given us those talents for a reason. And don't let anything, squash your hope. I've gotten so much criticism. Oh my goodness. On my work. And really, a lot of it made my work better when you kind of lick your wounds and take about 24 hours to heal. I know with the editors at Tyndale that it was more red than black on my manuscript with their corrections. And it hurt at first. And then, your pride or ego, whatever that is, gets a little wounded, your feelings. And then it was like, you know what? They know what they're talking about. So let's do it. Let's start applying these changes. And if you'll be teachable and you'll be instructable and you'll be willing to die to that lie that things happen overnight. I mean, that is definitely the exception, not the rule. And certainly my own life, I'm over a decade, guys, working on this screenplay and project. It's been over a decade since I first self-published the book. So persevere and keep using your gifts and it will bear fruit and have eternal impact.
Psalm 62, verse 1. Truly my soul silently waits for God. From him comes my salvation. He only is my rock and my salvation. He is my defense. I shall not be greatly moved. Laura, I just want to say I'm supporting what you're doing. I'm going to encourage the listeners here to get a copy of The Delusion and to go to your website and just to be in prayer. And if you guys go as far as to donate and reach out to Laura to help get this thing produced. You know, we really do believe that God is going to move in a new way. Religious people, it's going over top of their head. They're not going to be able to comprehend what God is doing, but that's okay. Right. We have never waited to move forward because of the acceptance of the rest of everybody. Being a pioneer does require to go into uncomfortable spaces and to stir the pot.
Mm-hmm. Exactly.
And I think you're doing that, Laura. Just plug in real quick where people can find you.
You can always reach me through my website, Laura, L-A-U-R-A, Gallier, G-A-L-L-I-E-R.com. I do check my own messages. And I do have a nonprofit, Gen 61, Generation 61. Those will both take you right there if you Google that. I can accept donations for this. We can. And certainly through my website, you're welcome to do that, lauragallier.com. Those links would be there. You can message me and just appreciate again all your support. It's just wonderful. And definitely this is meant to be something that young people grab hold of and champion and take ownership. And so I'm just so excited to connect with a young audience.
And that is it. That's the show, you guys. I'm going to ask you to share this one with your friends, family members, coworkers, share it with your doctor, share it with your pastor. Coming to you from southeastern Pennsylvania. God bless and goodbye.
I don't need none. I just need you. If this my season, pray I give it to you. Blessings that you give, would you pour them out? Dip your finger in the water, cool my tongue. Let your worship proceed from out my mouth. This hell on earth, let it be overcome. Run to you, I run to you. Run to you, I run, I run. Run to you, I run to you. Run to you, run to your son.
If my people humble themselves and seek my face, kneeling they pray, turning from the wickedest ways, I can hear from heaven those who call by my name. Said forgiven, he is risen, coming back that kingdom with him. That's a fact, that trumpet rhythm. We alive, we caught up with him. Flesh revived, the dead are risen. That's a stat, that's a million, that's a billion, that's a trillion. I can't count it, that's a billion. Alpha, you know that's beginning. Omega, and that's the finish. Ask God why I like a wise guy. In a dark room, gotta keep your eyes wide. Folks trying to hit me up like a drive-by. Put me down, zip me up, then high five. Been against the law since Mount Sinai. Written on my heart ever since Christ died. Then he rose up from the grave, lovers made a way. Saved by the blood and I know what the name Jesus.
Blessings that you give, would you pour them out? Dip your finger in the water, cool my tongue. Let your worship proceed from out my mouth. This hell on earth, let it be overcome. Run to you, I run to you. Run to you, I run, I run. Run to you, I run to you. Run to you, run to your son.
Lord, I need some time more than any sign. I stay losing faith. If you lead the way, we will be just fine. Hit these knees of mine. I've been saving face. You have saving grace that I need to find. Searching, I am blind. What more can I take? Life a piece of cake. When you chase your piece of pie, you get the crumbs I'm eating mine. It's so crazy how hate and love you redefine. That's a new leaf. The trees repeat the lie. We need deep in the seek, reading lies. All seek peace when belief defeats the pride. Every eye west to the east will see the priest. Every man will hit the knees and some weep and cry. Gnashing teeth. Atheist to the Catholic priest. Equalized. I know you gave me purpose. Of this one thing I know, I lean on you for courage. Can't do this thing alone. And I am far from perfect. Faith in you can make me whole. Before the judge, I know the verdict. Jesus, cover up my soul, of my soul, of my soul.
Blessings that you give, would you pour them out? Dip your finger in the water, cool my tongue. Let your worship proceed from out my mouth. This hell on earth, let it be overcome. Run to you, I run to you.
Thank you.
Wow, you're full of surprises too. I felt so unprepared because I really was diving into your biography and I'm like looking at all of this stuff you've done and I'm like, wow, this is a divine appointment. Seriously.
No, I feel the same way. You do a great job. And I catch myself like leaning forward and talking too loud. I'm like, back up. So I'm so sorry if you have a lot of post editing.
Pray I give it to you.